Welcome to Bailing, Scanning and Barbecue. My name is Lawson Watt and I'm a former hunting and fishing guy. Join me on the live stream and podcast every Thursday night. I interview guests from all over Australia and the world. Join me on my YouTube channel as I bring you highs and lows of the adventures I do with my mates and myself. So don't forget to check it out and subscribe. Thanks, guys. Welcome to another episode of the BSB podcast. Thanks for the people watching. Got a few there already, so it's all good. First things first, bit of tick off the list. Want to have a quick chat about a few things before I get on to the guest, Brody Hewitt. So I won't speak too much about Brody. I'll let him do it all. So first thing first, the pigging competition that happened over the weekend, a great success. Congrats to Dave who organized it and Mark who helped out. I think they're, now correct me if I'm wrong, in the comments, I believe there was about 99 teams to 100 teams. Successful day. I think 55 weighed in and I think that was about 230 odd pigs. So it's a pretty successful weekend. I believe everyone was happy. Obviously, you're going to have your ups and downs in those situations, but I believe it was a great weekend overall, and congratulations to Dave. And anyone who went there, I would send the guys from Narrabri a message and just say congrats and well done, because it is a lot of work to do that stuff, and it's hard work. And they don't get paid. They don't get a cent for it. It's all gone to, I believe, Black Dog. I'm not sure of that. 100% on the I think it's Black Cog Institution. I'm not 100% on that, but don't quote me. So congratulations to those guys and for a great cause, for a bigger cause like that Black Dog Institution. I'll just quickly go through this. So I've noticed recently that Ned Makem, I've had him on here previously. The Ned Makem is having an education course. So it's called the Makem Method. Head over to his Facebook page. And Ned is a great pig hunting. He's a legend. I'm trying to get him back on next season. He is the man to talk about pig hunting. He's been part of committees, everything. Go and listen to the podcast. I've done it ages ago. It'll be on Spotify. So Ned's having a hunting education course. I think it'll help you out if you've got young dogs or you're starting out by yourself. That'll be a perfect course. Podcasts, I've mentioned this a few times. The Hunting Connection, the Send and Mate podcast, and Pursuit, and the Hunting Down Under Camp. Hunting Down Under Camp. Can't even say it today. Hunting Camp Down Under. Apologize. Listen on, guys. They're all about a good cause. So check them out, have a look at them, and they're important for the community. That kind of stuff gives education. It's not just people hopping on there and talking stories. It's lots of other things like stories, tips and tricks, and little things that you might miss. Another one is Eureka Tactical. Talked about it quite a fair bit. I bought a shirt off them. Easiest website in the world to use, guys. Just want to mention that about the petitions and the articles. Go and check them out. Really, really good stuff. Check them out. Dan will talk to you and he will, help you out if you need some writing. And check out their shirts. They're awesome. They're funny. They're very simple. Right, I'll stop rambling. I think I've said what I needed to say. Try to keep that under 4 minutes and I've hit the 4 minute mark. So today is Brody Hewitt. Now, I have been watching Brody for quite a long time. He's always been a very respectful young hunter. He's only a young guy, but it looks like he has just got experience after experience. I just had a little bit of a chat to him. He's been around the block a few times, traps dogs, uses dogs to hunt pigs and shoots. So you don't get many people who can do all of it. And if you have a look at his Facebook and Instagram, he is very successful. So I've always wanted to get him on because you wake up, check your old Facebook, Instagram, and there's a ripping good hog or a nice dingo there. So I'll bring him in. Yeah, mate, how are you?
Not too bad, yourself?
Oh, wonderful, mate. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for, finally get to hear your story. It's
yeah, good. Cheers for having me.
So, mate, where are you from? Give us a bit of a general location. So
pretty much address. Southwest Queensland, sort of home in Roma for a fair while, but float around a little bit and picked up country sort of here, there and everywhere. So, yeah, Roma's home to me.
Nice. What do you do for work, mate?
At the moment, I'm a station hand just on a block, 80K out of town, so keeps it pretty close to home, but yeah.
Lovely. So, mate, how'd you get into hunting? Because you're very good at it. Pictures say a million words. tell us about how you got into hunting, mate, because it looks like you've got so much experience. You're trapping dogs, you're shooting pigs, you're using dogs for pigs. I've seen you've had luggers and I think you've gone to bailers now, correct me if I'm wrong. So mate, tell us about how'd you start?
So pretty much all starts from day dot, really. Born into, well, my old man, he's been chasing pigs for, forever as well. And, shooting roos, doing the whole gig for the chiller boxes and whatnot. And so I suppose it was only natural that I myself gave it a crack. And eventually one day just he sort of slowed up on it, but I had no intentions of it. So just went out on my own, had my own dogs, and I've ended up with a little pack that I got now.
Yeah.
And along the way met plenty of nice people, like great people. And, they've taught me, their ways, and like I wouldn't be able to trap without a good mate of mine. He taught me the ropes on that and all that sort of stuff. And so, yeah, that's pretty much me. Just luckily enough to be born into it and it's just in my blood.
Oh, that's awesome, mate. And well done. And to take up trapping and to be successful from the amount of dogs I've seen you pull up, it's I've only seen it done once or twice, and I just thought, wow, the amount of work that goes into that. I love watching Clark McGee on YouTube and watching his trap lines, and he's got 50 to 60 traps in a property. It's just unreal, and the amount of work that goes into it. Can you give us a bit of a rundown on trapping, mate? We won't stay on the topic too much, but
I'm far from a professional adult. Like I'm still in the beginner stages. I'll openly admit to that. But it's sort of where do you start with it? Like anyone can jump in and have a crack at it, really. If you got a bit of go about you, it can, in the middle of summer, she can be a bit of a gig, sort of pick your times or whatnot.
Yeah.
Biggest thing for me I found is having my own dog to take with me on a trap line. Like I've gone out days and I haven't taken my own dog with me, set, 10 traps and think, we're on here. Come back and over the week, you've just got nothing. And I put that down to lack of experience to myself as well. But then I've got four different dogs to take out, so I'll just take one of them with me.
Yep.
Just watch exactly what they do when they hit the ground and go, right, well, that spot there looks good. I'll drop a trap in there or, just anywhere that they go. Like, after all, you're trapping dogs, so you watch what a dog can do.
Yep.
And success level just skyrockets, really.
It's funny that I've read a book, a guy from Stonehenge. He talks about trapping, and it was unreal. Fascinating. I think I read it in 2 or 3 days, which is very rare. And it just talks about, he had an old dog there, and that old dog would jump off, take a piss, in certain spots, and he'd tell him to stay on the ute in certain times. And it was just fascinating because he'd walk, I don't know the science behind it, and I'd love to watch people do it and get involved and learn, but it's just something I don't have time for. You're obviously on the land. A regular, and you need to trap, set those traps and check them the next day. Or is it you check them every day or every second day? Or
yeah, I check mine every afternoon.
Yeah,
so if not every afternoon, every morning, but once a day, all mine get checked. Helps when you live on the property you're trapping, though.
It's fascinating. It's one of those things where you'll meet the old fellows you trap and they won't say a word to you. It takes a long time to get their trust, and if you ever get that passenger seat and the gate bitch, you sit there and you shut up and you watch. It's fascinating. So
I'm lucky enough, the bloke that taught me, he's still a pretty young fella, but he's well and truly got it sorted out and knows what's going on, and he was happy to teach me the ropes. So without him I definitely wouldn't be trapping what I trap now, that's for sure.
It's fascinating, especially when you start taking dogs and you know, dogs are pissing in a certain spot. And, you know, like you just said, watching them, it's just amazing. I think it's so cool because, you know, really you got to think about, you got to fit a little paw, it's smaller than this, in a trap probably the size of my hand.
Can step in a million spots, but it's got to step right there to catch him. So,
And learning tracks and stuff too. That's another fascinating thing.
That's it. Yeah, like that was one thing I picked up was, like, you know, my main pig dog Jarvis. He's forever done the same thing, and it wasn't until I'd actually gone through everything with my mate, and you know, I was like, oh, you know, he's always done that. And he's like, well, you know, now you know that when he's doing that, that's what it means, and you can set a trap on it. So. He's probably actually my most handy dog when it comes to trapping dingoes. Like, he'll just drop sign and scent anywhere. And, now that I know how to read him, it's made life a lot easier for me.
That's fascinating. And, you know, you can pretty much write a book on that stuff and people just read it. It's just so interesting. So, that's awesome, mate. Now, you also do a bit of clay. Well, you did. Don't know if you're still doing a bit of clay shooting. Give us a rundown on that.
So pretty much the same thing. My old man he was doing it when I was a young fella, so always wanted to jump in and follow in his footsteps, really. Yep. The last 12 to 18 months, I've had a break from it. You know, I've been doing it since I was 11, 24 now, so I just needed a bit of a break.
Yep.
Recently went to the state titles, though, just to catch up with all my friends and whatnot and spark a little light inside me again, so I'll definitely be getting back into it. But when it comes to sports, like, you know, at the end of the day, you're out there competing by yourself for yourself, but the mateship that you make through it is just crazy. Like, people of all ages, and there's some bloody good people amongst the sport, that's for sure.
I've never done it, so I've always been interested in it. Looks awesome. I've shot it on a farm, you know, with the fake clays and muckaround clays.
Yeah,
not competition. Just looks fascinating. I'd probably miss too many shots, so I'd probably just be better off leaving it.
Everyone starts somewhere. There's still plenty of people that just do it constantly, but they're no good. But it's just a good time. It's always good crowd of people, you know, and just fun time it is.
That's awesome. So, mate, I've got a few questions for you. We'll start off with we'll go guns first. So. Yes. What kind of guns you got? Because I've just seen five different pictures with four different guns. So
there's no shortage of them, that's for sure. I've always had a bit of a thing for rifles, so I've had plenty pass through my hands over the years. But at the moment, I've got a fair selection. Just depends on what day of the week it is and how the weather is to what I want to use.
What do you shoot your pigs with?
So I got a Remington 260 there that's a bit of a custom job, and it gets a fair workout. Lately I've just been running my Seiko 308, good old faithful 308. You can't go past them, they work all the time. Sort of, just as I said, end of the day, it's just whatever I pull out of the safe on the day. I'm lucky enough to have that option. Just keeps things a bit more interesting, I suppose.
What do you shoot your at Stag with, mate?
That there on the Stag is my old Winchester Model 70 243. That's one of, like, when the Model 70s came in, it's one of the original Model 70s. Like, she's proper old school, that one, but it's luckily had barely any use by the previous owner and still shoots true as anything. And it's a nice little rifle, it is.
How many you got in the safe at the moment?
Probably knocking on the door at 30, if I'm honest with you.
Wow! Holy
it's a serious hobby, that's for sure.
Holy crap!
So
I know a few contenders, but that's pretty crazy.
There's definitely not a lot of people my age, I suppose, that have the collection that I have. But
what's your most prized?
Probably my Seikos for sure. A bit of a mixture, a few Seikos there, and definitely big Seiko fan. Like, just anything Seiko, love Seiko.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'd be listening, Seiko. Get on the boy.
If only.
I think that it's about time they owe you a gun. So
yeah.
I think you bought enough from the sounds of it. What do you use for your what's your clay target gun, mate?
What I was using was a Beretta DT11 Black. So it was I'm currently actually trying to sell it because when I start again, I'm going to get myself a new one just to change things up, try something new for a change.
Yep.
But I'd been shooting that for about maybe 2 years, I think I had that one.
Yeah.
And was, very successful when I got hold of it. Previously, though, I've pretty much shot Berettas since day one, just different variations of them.
Yeah. Are they 12 gauges? I know nothing about shotguns.
Through what I was shooting was 12, all 12 gauge.
Yep.
So with competitive clay target, there's a whole wedge of different disciplines like trap, skeet, sporting, IWSF skeet, IWSF ball trap, I think it is. I can't remember all of them. I'm probably wrong on a few because I just shot trap and the odd bit of skeet and bit of sporting for a bit of fun. But yeah, my main discipline was trap.
And, when you say trap, what's the meaning of trap?
So you might have seen, I don't know if I sent you any of the photos of it, or you might have seen on my Facebook or that, but pretty much, how's the best way to explain it? You've got what they call the trap house, and it's out in front of you. There's five lanes, and you stand at 15 metres back from the trap, and then it throws at, can't remember, I don't think, no, they're not quite 45-degree angles. I can't remember the setting, what they are now. But, yeah, they're just, everything's in front of you pretty much. It's, honestly, it's probably one of the more mind-numbing disciplines, but it's, to a degree, one of the easier ones. Like, you'll see the biggest scores shot in it.
Do you believe that your clay target has helped you in your other shooting disciplines?
So that's a bit of a funny one. Like, you talk to some people and, like, there was a period there where I was shooting rifles every afternoon, every day of the week, was shooting clay target pretty much the same.
Yep.
And a lot of people will tell you that if you shoot rifles too much and then try and compete, it'll teach you to rifle shoot a clay, which you're not meant to do. You're not meant to try and aim at the clay while you're trying to shoot it.
Yeah.
You just, you got your gun up, you're all set up, and you just want to be going through the clay as you shoot it.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, it didn't make any difference. Yeah. If anything, it actually probably helped my rifle shooting in the aspect of hunting, like shooting pigs and dingoes on the run, because I was just a lot smoother with my constant movement. Like, there was a time there where I was probably about a 95% chance of an animal on the run I'd hit. And like if something was standing at distance, I was probably a 90% chance of hitting it. Like, crazy how it works, but when you're doing that motion so many times, it becomes natural.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about that timing. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes preparation perfect. So No, that's awesome, mate. That's so cool. I've always been fascinated about it. Like you were saying before, your old boy is a rusher, just mine was too. And they might miss one for the night. Well, my old boy, if he missed one for the night, he'd be you want to sit on the back of the ute for about half an hour because it's
Definitely when I was doing a fair bit with him and I was shooting, like I definitely got plenty of clips under the ear when I'd missed something, that's for sure and certain.
I never got given the gun. It was just we'd have to hike a fair way to the property that we'd go to, and he'd rarely hand over the 223 unless he unless he was happy with something. So I think I'm in my time I probably shot 20 roos with him sitting beside me, more on my own than anything. So
fair enough.
Yeah, he's a hard man, but saying he was trying to make a dollar, and I was just I was just the gate bitch, and the dogs jumped off and catch a pig. That was my job to go run. So, I knew my job. I was gate bitch. Told sit there, sit down and shut up. So, he bought this new, I think it was a Seiko. I can't remember what it was. I think it was a Seiko. And he said to me, I was asleep one night. And obviously, if I fall asleep, there goes my wage. hang on a sec. The silly thing going on.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Hang on. going on him. There we go. Silly Siri. Siri's talking to me again. Yeah. The old boy had a setup there in the cruiser where the gun would sit nicely. So basically, he had a drop down windscreen and he'd basically pick up and go bang. I was asleep one night and he had a bump and the Seiko came out of the groove and landed on my head and was brand new stainless steel, like the real thick. Like you wouldn't 20 meters with this thing that's that heavy.
And, yeah, ball barrels.
Yeah, huge ball barrel. He said to me, how's your head? And I said, oh, I'm fine. He said, oh, the gun smacked you fair in the noggin. And he said, yeah, he made a good crack. And I didn't feel a thing. So anyway, yeah. Anyway, enough of the roof shooting stories. All right. Matt Pennis from out Central Queensland way has asked, what dogs do you have and what dogs have you had? Can you give us a bit of a rundown?
So currently I've got Jarvis. He's my sort of main dog, I suppose. He's a Warrego Bull Arab. He's 5 this year, I think he is. Just after him, I've got Thelma. She's Arab cross Dane of some description. Got her from a friend. She was just a house dog and thought I will give her a whirl. And anyway, I took her on and we ended up, she's turned into a pretty handy dog at the end of the day. So she sort of runs second, I suppose. And then after that, you've got Wanda, little orange bitzer. She's got a little bit of everything in her. And sort of was one of them dogs where I didn't really plan on getting her, but it all just in the long run ended up happening. And I'll tell you what, I'm bloody stoked I grabbed her because she's gonna be a ripper dog by the time I'm done with her.
Yeah.
And then I got my little Kelpie Mulga, who was never meant to be a pig dog, but he's decided otherwise and he loves to come for a lap and go and have a bit of a chew on the nose and a good old bark at him. So
yeah,
he's a feral character, he is.
They're good to take. You don't have to. They always have to use a tracker when you got the Kelpies. You can always hear them.
Like to make a bit of noise, about a couple K away is pretty handy.
Yeah, nothing better. If you these little dogs, they make plenty of noise. You're like, oh, there they are.
Yeah,
makes it easier. So that's awesome, mate. How have you found the Kelpie joining the group?
As I said, like he was never really meant to be a pig dog. Like, I bought him for working cattle and stuff like that, and that just never eventuated. I've just been too lazy with him, so whenever I go for a run, I'll just throw him in the box just to take him with me. And then I thought, one day I'll just let him out and just see what he does. Well, he's straight over there and he wanted every piece of it, so now he just comes with me. Like, I haven't trained him for it or anything, but as soon as a big dog goes, he's keen as to just float with him. And so
No, that's awesome, mate. That's all. Do you say?
I've always been on like sort of the Arab side, I suppose, the whole way. Just that's what my old man was running pulsing Arabs for a fair while.
Yep.
And then when I really took into it, he bought me. He was a sort of a bitzer as well. Real big black dog he was. Like, he was 55 kilos working weight, this fella. He was huge.
Yeah.
Insanely good dog. And then since then we've had a few Arabs and, you know, some work, some don't. So you just go through them and now I've got the little crew that I've got going on now. So,
that's awesome, mate. That's awesome. What do you, this is a good one. What do you rather, hunt with the dogs or hunt with a gun?
Each has their place for me. Like, I've got a few mates that chase pigs with dogs and they just abuse me for shooting a good bull. But at the end of the day, like, I think it's pretty obvious like how much of a hobby me rifles are to me. So I don't mind going out with just me guns alone and finding, you know, just doing a stalk, finding that good boar and planting him. Yeah. Even when I run me dogs, I've always got a rifle by me side for, you know, you hit a good mob and the dogs grab what they grab, and if you see the lead boar for whatever reason they haven't grabbed him, then you know you can still get him.
Yeah, that's always,
it's definitely a solid 50-50 for me. I couldn't pick a clear winner.
What about your trapping? Where's that coming in? Behind those two, or?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, when I'm running me traps, I've always got me dogs collared up because if they want to go, I'll happily just let them go. Catching the pigs, definitely a lot more. A lot of reward in catching dogs. you know, know when you've done it all right and setting a trap, looking at it, going, yeah, not happy with that. Come back the next day and you've got a dog in it.
Yeah.
But no, it's, there's just that solid adrenaline rush when you're hunting pigs with dogs for sure.
Yeah, very good. That's awesome. For the people watching, if you'd like a question, chuck in the comments and I can read it out to Brody. I'm just going to go to a quick ads, and we'll be back in just a moment. Are you looking to boil your crabs up? Make sure you measure them properly? Or you just want a pot to boil your heads out to do some Euro mounts? Well, the girls at Ironbark Fabrication have got you sorted. They've got the pots to boil, the boilers to boil. Be sure to order from Megan from Ironbark Fabrication to get your order in now. Special requests are available, and she's always happy to have a chat and talk about what she can do to help you. So make sure you check out Ironbark Fabrications. Check out Facebook and Instagram, and also TikTok. Out in the streams, to walking up mountains looking for bucks, and chasing big hogs, or just going to the gun range and sight your rifle in. Make sure you're wearing high country hunting gear. Also, a huge available range from stubby cooler stickers to hoodies to cattle tags to caps. Make sure you check them out. High country hunting gear. So be sure to get your gear and be chasing that high country. High country hunting gear. All right. So we've got a few questions that have come through. Obviously, if they're stupid, I'm not going to read them.
There should be plenty of them.
So anyway, I got one here from Luke. I don't know if you know Luke. Whereabouts you guys hunt? I'm not even going to answer that one. See many wombats, Claire. We're in Queensland.
There's a good yarn behind that, but yeah.
Okay. I'll let you deal with that one later on. And Thomas has written, what's your thoughts on the ATA Turquoise 243 to be specific?
So here's another fella who's a bit of a smart aleck. there is a bit of a yarn behind that. I'll tell it because, you know, why not? So he just bought one of them rifles. And anyway, I thought I've been reloading ammunition now for, like, all my rifles I reload for. Never had an issue with them. Until he bought this rifle, and I rated it and shot beautifully until the fourth shot through it blew up in my hands. Never had that happen for a rifle before.
Wow.
And, end of the day, we haven't been really left with too much of an explanation to it because I was using my reloads. Well, not my reloads. I was making reloads for this rifle, which, as I said, I've done hundreds upon hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, just whatever's happened, and it just blew up in my hands. And because of that, I do rate the gun because the bolt didn't come out. She all stayed locked up tight for me, and all it happened, got a bit of shrapnel through my hands, and that was the end of the story. So projectile came at the end and everything, but don't know what happened, but she went bang.
Nah, that's weird. No injuries, mate?
No, I just got a few metal shards in my fingers, and that was it. Like, got really lucky with it, I did.
Yeah.
But it just goes to prove, you know, like, anybody, it can happen to anyone. Like, you know, as I said, loaded hundreds of rounds, shot thousands of my own ammunition.
Yeah.
And this one particular one just went bang.
Weird, so, eh?
I do rate the rifle because it didn't kill me.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, as long as that bolt's closed, lucky it wasn't a bigger. Yeah, 243 is pretty big, but lucky it wasn't even bigger than that. Very lucky. I got another one here. Thanks again, Matt. How do you find the Kelpie? Does he find? Does he work out wide and sweep around, or is he more direct?
So the Kelpie, I haven't done any actual training with yet. Like, he's not a finder. I wouldn't say that he is. He's just there for the joyride at the moment. I'm about to start putting him to work because I've come to the conclusion that I'm not going to be using him as a cattle dog. At the moment he's just goes with the other dogs and does what they do. Like, he's but I know of plenty of Kelpies that are really handy pig dogs, so I've got no doubt that you know, with the right training, he can be the same.
Yeah, they're easy to train. They're energetic.
He's the most obedient dog I've got.
My brother's got five of them, so they're just psychotic, crazy.
They are. Yeah, energetic.
That's the reason why I got him. He's in the heat, and you can hunt all day, and they'll keep going. Mate. Do you use thermals or anything like that to help?
I can't say personally I've stepped into the thermal game. I have used them. Like my old man, he's bought himself one. So every now and then, depending what I'm doing, I'll just pinch it for the night. Especially if I'm hunting some of my big crop country, like the stubble blocks and that. Yeah. If there's a couple places that I can't really use the wind if it's blowing the wrong way. And so if I am hunting those blocks, I'll take it with me. Just throw it across the stubble. If you can see something way out, well, you just jump out with the dogs, walk across the stubble until you've got the wind in the right direction, let the dogs do the rest. Like, I'm not against thermal at all. Don't get me wrong. I've used it. It's bloody handy gear. Yeah. But I'm not a fan of the whole use the thermal, drop your dogs on the pigs, because then it just takes the find away from it completely. Like, your dogs just stop working then.
Yeah.
I still like to make the dog work to get the pig, and which is then pretty cool to be able to take your thermal out and watch them get out in the paddock and do what they do the whole way. It's going to be a huge game changer. It'll be interesting to see what it does to sort of the pig population over the next 12-24 months. I reckon it's definitely going to thin things out real quick.
Well, you look at Edge of the Outback and Rodney Morris's YouTube channels. They're shooting absolutely. Yeah,
there's a few young fellas out here that at the end of the day, they probably wouldn't like me saying it, but I'm here to guarantee you they wouldn't be able to find a pig without one, and now that they've got them, they're just getting bulk numbers.
So it's a huge
game changer, massive.
Oh, absolutely. And it's always like that. First thing was, well, not first thing, but when we first got trackers, it was everyone thought it was the duck's nuts. There was an old ABC or SBS show with that fella up, and he used to be all over Facebook. He's not there anymore. Brendan Callis did a hunt with him, and he had the old aerial, the old big.
I know you're talking about. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Big fella, fit old fella with bald head. He's very well known. I can't remember. My brain's gone. But
I could give a name.
Yeah. When he came on with the aerial, everyone thought it was amazing.
I remember, I'm only a young fella, but even I remember the days of the glow sticks on the dog. Once that glow stick went out of sight, you just started heading the way you last seen it.
That's it. Yeah. Well, we were lucky. We never really had big long finders because it was just wasn't convenient for roo shooting.
Definitely not. No.
Half a night looking for a dirty old pig, and you would have got six roos by then and made the same thing. So, most of the time the dogs didn't get off the chain until they actually saw a pig. But that's an interesting view on the thermal. I like that. I've always been really worried about the future, especially the dogs. I had Jamie O'Toole on the other week, and he said something similar about the whole thing of your dogs watching the spotlight / finding that they get very, very lazy. And that's very true.
I've got a spotlight on my ute. People might have seen in the photos, and I very, very rarely ever use it anymore because same thing. Like, I catch my dogs just going to the side of the ute and the spotlight's on, flick it off. All of a sudden, the nose are in the air again, and away you go.
And that's the beauty about thermal, I guess. If you've got one on the roof, you can turn your spotty off and do it and watch the dogs do their own thing.
I'm not quite that advanced. I know a few people that are, and I've done some shooting with a few people that are. It's amazing how much you drive past that you wouldn't realise just because the wind wasn't right or whatever.
It's funny you say that, because my old boy used to say to me, you'd see guys with rifles shooting and go, "You wonder how many pigs they're walking past." And these days, it's wonder how much the dogs are missing with the thermal.
It's amazing. Like, But now that I've gone out and done a bit with the thermal, and you'll be driving along, you think everything's all good, you'll check the wind and go, oh, it's not quite right. And then you might have a bit of a scan around and go, oh, yeah, okay, so there's pigs, you know, 200-300 yards over there, but the wind just isn't right, so the dogs have no idea.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
no, the amount of
time they use the right way, I definitely think they're in advantage either way, but I think some people are taking them a bit too far in some aspects. Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you've definitely got some mates here. A lot of shit comments coming through. I've got to apologize to them and you now. I'm not going to read half these out. I'll read this one out because I think it's funny. Save some timber beds for somebody. there's other ones there. I'll give this one a go too. What was your occupation before working?
She was up me that I had to tell you. I was actually a baker.
Oh, yeah? There you go.
Yeah. So a lot of people, anyone that knows me now would obviously never really predict that. But, yeah, I was a baker pastry chef for 6 years.
Oh, well.
Yeah, straight out of school.
You finished your apprenticeship?
Yeah, fully qualified for baker pastry chef. But safe to say, I don't think, all going to plan, it probably won't ever be used again.
Yeah.
Quite happy in the line of work that I'm in, that's for sure and certain.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a butcher by trade, and I'll never pick a knife up unless it's for myself. Never cutting up another cow unless I have to. Put food on my table, no dramas. But unless it's getting me a property. But I got another one from Matt here. Matt, I basically need Matt to start working with me on the questions. Never start messaging personally because he's got better questions than I do. Do you still hunt with the old boy or do you leave him behind, mate?
So he doesn't have any of his own dogs anymore. He's just sort of taken other things on, other hobbies and whatnot. But every now and then I'll flick him a message and see what he's up to and if he's not busy and he wants to come. But now that he's still got a heap of young kids, so he can't, always be out to the stupid hours of the morning that I'll go out my days off. So, but if I'm just doing a quick run, then I'll give him a call and see what he's up to. And if he wants to jump in, then we sort of clash a little bit because, he's got his ways of doing it. And now that I've done it for so long by myself, I've got my ways and makes for an interesting hunt.
It's always the way, isn't it?
So
same with normally I'm just a cameraman these days, but watching my younger brother go out with my old boy, it's just like, oh, it's just, I have the camera pretty much off the whole time until something good comes along because it's just like, you guys just bicker too much. It's too much whinging. I just keep the camera off, waiting till the good action starts. So
I'd love to have a full-time cameraman behind me. Like I did a trip out to Blackall there around Easter time to a property I used to work at, actually. And I pretty much most of the time put my phone down and just took it all in, just enjoyed it. But some of the footage I could have picked up while I was out there, it'd be unreal what you could do if you had a cameraman the whole time.
Yeah. No, it's if you do those big trips you do want to film and stuff, you kind of do need to designate someone to that filming job or take day by day because, like you said, you're taking it in. You're taking that moment in. And my best moments are not with a camera. I've got 5 years of footage on the channel and all my good moments are not even on the channel. There's so many good moments there. You just watch pig, in a swamp for 10, 15 minutes, having a good old, he gets up and walks away. There's just so many moments you just take in and go, well, that's the duck's nuts. That's awesome. So,
Oh, bloody oath. I got there just on that recent trip out to Blackall. Like I've got one there. If I had it on video, it'd probably go viral. It was hilarious. That little Kelpie that I got, I think it was like 2:30 in the morning on the last day that I was there. And I thought, I'll go for just, I'll probably pack her up and head home. Anyway, big old bull walking up the road had other plans for me. I thought, oh, beauty, here's an easy one to finish the trip.
Yeah.
Let the dogs out. Ended up 200 metres down the road in a big lagoon. So that wasn't exactly ideal. But I'm running in there and all I could hear was this bloody Kelpie going off. Got in there and all four dogs are in the water going around this pig. the old Kelpie has run out of steam. So he's crawled up on the back of his pig and just like surfing on the back of this pig, just barking in its ear. And I was like, oh, if I had this on video, like it was just hysterical on the bank trying to pull myself together to get in the water and deal with the situation. But just, oh, yeah, it was a laugh. It was bloody hilarious.
The old sheep dog doing the sheep things.
Yeah.
He's right on the pig's back. Meanwhile, the Arabs are sitting there with an ear in its mouth going, get off, we're trying to breathe.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, that's nuts. Mate, you got a few pictures there. You got a fallow stag and a nice red. How'd you go about getting them? They're pretty impressive animals.
So that's also linked through my mate that's taught me how to trap dogs and whatnot.
Yep.
Was lucky enough to become mates with him a couple of years ago, and he's done a lot for me in the hunting aspect. Like I'd have never shot a deer if it wasn't for him, that's for sure, and probably wouldn't be trapping dogs.
Yeah.
So he sort of took me out and gave me the opportunity to shoot a few deer and gave me, like, you know, let me take the meat and the antlers, of course. And anyway, then that fallow just there, it's actually had another mate that same deal, had never shot deer. I said, I'm going on a trip. I think it was over Easter, so around Easter time. I said, we'll see if you can tag along. So he did. And the idea was for him to come and shoot himself a red stag or, something of some description.
Yeah.
Out there, and I think for the trip, I shot four stags and he shot one doe, or one hind, I should say. This fallow, like I said to me, mate, I said, fallow's on the list. I really, really want to get a fallow. And he had a small pocket of fallow he knew about, and he goes, we'll poke up here and, see what we find. And it was the other fella's turn to shoot. Anyway, we were in the car at this point driving up to the spot. Anyway, then he's nudged me. He goes, he's right there. He's only 250 metres sort of up this old beaten track just off the side with his little mob of does. And not even thinking that it wasn't my turn to shoot, I've just jumped out of the ute, run over behind a tree, sort of got up a bit closer, picked me spot and just wedged him. And then I was like, oh, yeah, whoops, anyway. that's a 375 H&H that's laying on him that I shot him with.
Yeah.
So definitely done the job, that's for sure and certain.
What did old mate say to you?
He wasn't too concerned. He sort of seen how much it meant to me and whatnot. So he was stoked just to be there, I think.
Yeah, that's it. How'd you find the red deer meat to the fallow?
Oh, fallow all over red every day. Yeah, it was. Yeah, like I've eaten a fair bit of red now, and I had a crack at that fallow, and that fallow's just, and like, he's a rutten stag, so shouldn't expect too much, but he just way better than the red.
I definitely agree. The only thing I haven't had is sambar and hog deer, yep. And had roosa. What was it around Christmas time? And I was actually pretty surprised. Roosa wasn't that bad either. But
a few people that I've spoke to have said roosa goes all right. Yeah, and then the chittle as well.
Yeah, I've had chittle years and years ago, and same thing. As long as they got a little bit of fat in them, which is very hard to find. I had one. Years ago, believe it was chill, and it was just so tender. It's always interesting. I always ask that, if you shoot deer regularly, I've always found red just so gamey.
It's definitely got that stronger taste to it, that's for sure.
The old boy has got a property there. We'd go and shoot a red. Saying that there's the odd chittle there, we have seen the odd chittle. I haven't seen a fallow there, but I do believe people say there's fallow. So I don't know. It's deer are not my forte. I'd love to shoot one. I've had my chance and I wrecked that the other month. It's my own doing, mate. I've got the pickaninny and the rings, and I would put the thermal on the gun back and forth. And I'm just going to get rid of the pickaninny and set rings on there so she doesn't move at all. All it would have been was I used it the week before. She was shooting beautifully in a shot that I shouldn't have missed. I've missed it somehow by a mile, and I've just gone, where's that gone? So it's my own fault, and plus I should have probably got to camp and checked me sights before I walked out. That's probably my own fault. Anyway.
Yeah, These things happen.
That's it. What do you shoot your dogs with mainly, mate?
So that 260 Rem that in a couple of photos here with that black boar. It's a big contender when I'm shooting dogs. I know exactly where it shoots out to 300 yards. Yeah, so you can push it to 400, shoots like a dime. Like, yeah, that rifle there. He was a pretty handy pig, that. I just run my own hand loads through it, 120 grain Nosler ballistic tips.
Yeah.
And I think I've owned that gun since 2018, and I've missed two dogs with it, and that's all I've ever missed. That rifle is just something else.
Don't take it this weekend because you'll miss now.
I talked it up when I took a few blokes with me there one time. They'd never been shooting. I said, we're sweet. I got this rifle. Like, you know, we're all good. Yep. Missed one dog three times with it. I was just roping along.
Just mumbling to yourself, saying, I'll leave this gun in the paddock in a minute.
The dogs, that's the selection.
That's the selection. Now, Melissa Spinks, tell us about your deer hunting experience.
So she knows all about it because she's actually partners with me best mate that takes me deer hunting and whatnot. She wasn't for her, I wouldn't have met him. And she's a real good friend from way back. So
good stuff.
We've had some great times together. We all have, the three of us.
Good stuff. Is that have you found with your hunting, mate? You've had a lot. Made a lot more friendships over hunting.
Yeah, it's a weird mix. Like, you get people that just for whatever reason don't like you because of the success you have, I think. I know I've got people that don't like me, and it really doesn't faze me at all because I've met some ripper people along the way, like people I talk to weekly all the time, all about it. And like, social media just helps that. Definitely met some really, really good people through it. That's for sure. And so,
That's awesome, mate. Social media can be used in so many different ways, good and bad. And I'm so glad. You're the kind of guy that doesn't post shit. I say that. Well, but you post good stuff, and every post I've seen is either something meaningful, like a good peek with the dogs, it's so good to see, someone as young as you, getting out there and, you obviously don't have a TV at home because,
I spend barely any time in front of the TV, that's for sure and certain. I'm out whatever chance I get.
No, that's awesome, mate. I've got another question here, and you answered it before, talking to me before we jumped on. When are you going to make a YouTube channel?
I had a couple of people hit me up over time about it and to make one, but at the end of the day, I'm not very tech savvy, and I don't get enough content, good content, to make videos and whatnot for YouTube. Like, I've got lots of videos on my phone, but nothing worthwhile, posting. So probably only a tenth of what I actually get ever gets even put on my social media.
And I think you said it before, it takes away the moment.
It does, as we were saying, if I had someone to come with me that could do the videoing for me, for sure, we could probably, turn some great content on. But, personally, especially by myself, a lot of my hunting is done by myself. I just like to get out there and just enjoy it and just be with my dogs and just see what happens.
Now, since you said that, you probably need to put your account in private and or do what Matt said and just get kids to do it.
That sounds like a whole lot of work just to get someone to do it for me.
That's the expensive way, Matt. Way too expensive. I've tried. I've got three girls and they won't come forward with me. I've got a few more questions, mate, and then we'll wrap it up. We've nearly reached that hour mark. Liam's Liam Abine, I'm going to say.
Sabine.
Who's your most useful gate opener?
I'm going to say not him, just to annoy him.
Abby Dobson, what do you prefer getting pigs with, dogs or shooting them?
Yeah, as I was saying before, they're 50-50. The dogs definitely produce that much better adrenaline rush, but And, you know, you've put all the time and work into getting your dogs to where they are.
Yeah.
But then I don't mind going out with my rifles and, you know, wedging a good bore every now and then.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Cody Gearon, fella's been on here and his birthday the other week. Is there a link between I like this one. This is good. Is there a link between the gorgeous mullet and the tusky boars?
Yeah. I'd just about say so, because when I didn't have one, I tell you what, they were few and far between.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome, mate. Mate, last couple of questions. If you had any hunt in the world, money wasn't an option, what would you be doing?
Oh, geez. I nearly have to say the African Plains game. Like, just do a big African tour, I reckon. Just, you know, have a crack at everything. But then at the end of the day, like, and then big NT buff hunt's definitely something I want to get done one day. Like, the buff bulls, like, you know, buff, bull, bentane, the three Bs.
Three Bs?
Yeah. Otherwise, an elk hunt over in America somewhere. Up in the mountains, like, really work for it. But I reckon at the top of the list, definitely the African safari of all the plains game. Just a good variety.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Excuse me, I'm just about to die on my heart, man. excuse me. And last one, but not least, it's actually disappeared from my memory altogether just then. What's next for you?
Oh, who knows? I'm a sort of take as it comes kind of person. I just don't really set any plans, and the right opportunity gets thrown at me, I'm just going to have a crack at it. Like, it'll take something fairly decent, but
just
live life one week at a time, and whatever happens, happens. I just roll with it.
That's awesome, mate. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast. I was so happy to get you on. It's been an honour.
Cheers for having me. It's been good having you on.
Yeah, no, it's been really good to get you on and have a chat, and I hope people take something away from this. So I really appreciate you coming on, mate. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
All good.